الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والشمس وضحاها، والقمر إذا تلاها، والنهار إذا جلاها، والليل إذا يغشاها، والسماء وما بناها، والأرض وما طحاها، ونفس وما سواها، فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها، وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, in many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam on many aspects. In Surah Wattin, Wazzaytun, Waturi Sinin, Wahadal Baladil Amin, four aspects, qasams have been taken one after the other. And in many other surahs, many aspects Allah Ta'ala has taken qasam on. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on things to highlight the importance of something. What a great manifestation of Allah Ta'ala's qudrat something is. What a lesson some things give us. How much benefit some things have. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to take a qasam on anything to convince anybody. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than Allah Ta'ala? Allah is Khaliq and Malik. It doesn't hurt Allah Ta'ala in any way if na'uzu billah somebody does not take heed or does not benefit or does not accept. Allah Ta'ala doesn't take qasam to convince anyone. Allah Ta'ala's word is convincing in itself. But these are the reasons why Allah Ta'ala takes qasams, and Allah knows his hikmat best. But there is no place where Allah Ta'ala has taken so many qasams in one time, at one place, in one surah, one after the other, like in this instance, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, that there are a whole list of aspects that Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on, and then what follows after all the qasams and oaths that Allah Ta'ala takes, that is actually the highlight. That is what the attention is being drawn to. So here in the surah, Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, that by the sun and its bright light, that brightness of the sun, when the sun rises and it's now has come to a point where now the whole place is illuminated. Subhanallah, what a magnificent qudrat of Allah Ta'ala this is. Allah Ta'ala has created it for the benefit of this insan. If that sun was not there, then so many things would not be, we won't have the type of system that we enjoy, the crops ripening and so many things that happen. So Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on this, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, and then the qasam on the moon when it follows the sun. The sun sets and the moon comes up. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on the day and the light of the day, the brightness of the day. And then the night when it covers the day, that night now suddenly comes, that whole brightness like a cover was now pulled over and the light got now blocked out. So the night comes in and covers it. لَيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on the heavens, on the skies, and the one who created these skies, this whole system, the universe, and all these planets and whatever else, and this whole sky that we see from east to west and north to south, no pillar is holding it aloft, and there is no default, no fault anywhere, no blemish in anything in Allah Ta'ala's creation. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا, and this earth, how Allah Ta'ala spread it from east to west, what not happens on this earth, the mountains that Allah Ta'ala has placed that have become pegs on this earth, otherwise this would have shaken and people would not be able to stand in one place. The earthquakes would have been a occurrence all the time. But Allah Ta'ala places huge mountains as pegs. And then Allah Ta'ala created that ability in the sand to give that nourishment to the crops and bring out the vegetation, and in some places the fruit, and in some places something else. And then there's the rivers flowing through this earth, and the springs that come through from the depths of the bowels of the earth, and so many things Allah Ta'ala has made this insan's benefit in this earth. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تَحَاهَا. And then coming to the pinnacle of Allah Ta'ala's creation, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And this nafs, one meaning this insan itself, or this nafs insani within him, how Allah Ta'ala fashioned him and made him and perfected him. So all the creation of Allah Ta'ala are manifestations of Allah Ta'ala's qudrat. But above all these creations is the creation of insan, ashraful makhluqat. And Allah Ta'ala has given that extent of understanding, of intelligence to insan that no other creation has. And as a result, insan has been made mukallaf. He has been made responsible. Others, they don't have any responsibility. Allah Ta'ala has put them into a system. But insan, Allah blessed him with a very high level of thinking, of understanding, of intelligence. So Allah Ta'ala made him responsible. He cannot continue his life like he is somebody else, some other creation. He's insan. He's ashraful makhluqat. Some other creation might behave, might conduct itself in some other way. After all, you say, well, that after all, he's an animal. I say, no matter how tame that animal becomes, but still be cautious about it. An animal is an animal. Sometimes people tame some wild animals, and then that wild animal became like a pet, and they were carrying on with it like it was one small homely kitten. And the day came when that same homely kitten, in inverted commas, homely kitten, suddenly showed his colors, became a lion in reality. And it attacked the same person that had tamed it and killed him also. He says, no, this is an animal. Look, you can tame it as much as you want, but that animal is an animal. So don't ever drop your guard. Now that is for other creation. But insan is ashraful makhluqat. He has been blessed by Allah Ta'ala in a way that no other creation has been blessed. And he can reach that height that even the most pure of Allah Ta'ala's creation, in terms of that they commit no sin, the angels also can't reach that height which insan can reach. Now where is this from? How does this happen? So Allah Ta'ala has opened out the choices in front of insan. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah Ta'ala gave this insan this intelligence, this understanding, this thinking, this ability to reflect, to ponder, to be able to understand and recognize the qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and see this entire creation around him and recognize there can be only one creator of all this, and that one creator is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And having understood this, gaining the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, subjugating himself to Allah Ta'ala and surrendering himself to Allah Ta'ala, this is the ability insan has. Others, Allah Ta'ala put them into the system. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَ. Every creation, it knows how to remember Allah Ta'ala. And it's engaged in that remembrance. But insan, Allah Ta'ala opened it out to him. Look, this is the path to righteousness. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. This is the path that you'll go. This is the path of taqwa. This is the path of fujur. Here you'll go, you'll end up in Jannah. And this path you take, this path leads to Jannah. Now the choice is yours. You have been given that capacity, you have been given that ability, you have been given all the faculties, you have been given the capabilities. Everything is at your disposal. How you use it now is your choice. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Now eventually the time is going to come when it has to be now decided who succeeded and who failed. So now who's going to succeed? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That person has indeed succeeded who has purified this nafs. All these qasams Allah Ta'ala took to highlight to us that look, this is the importance of this nafs. That if a person now purifies it, he purifies that heart, purifies that nafs, purifies that soul, and he becomes that human being that Allah Ta'ala wants him to become, then he is going to succeed, and he'll be successful not in just this temporary success of dunya. Many a person becomes very, very elated on the small, small successes of dunya. No problem, provided it was something within the limits of Sharia. But it's a very short-lived success. Sometimes a person was so overjoyed of something, some success of some sort that he gained in dunya, but few hours later, few minutes later sometimes, something else suddenly happens, all this joy got forgotten, that occupied his mind. This is all so temporary, and eventually one day everybody's going to leave all these successes of dunya behind. All the so-called achievements of dunya and the great accolades that we try to gather for ourselves in dunya and whatnot, all that will get left behind. But that person who has purified this nafs, purified the soul, he will truly be successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That person has been totally unsuccessful. The person who dasaha literally refers to something that is buried. And something is destroyed now, you bury it finally, done. One who's destroyed it, he's polluted this nafs. On the one side, the one who purified it. So the opposite will be the one who polluted it. He is now completely failed. He is lost out. Lost out the akhirat. Such a person doesn't even gain the dunya in reality. Because he might gain the things of dunya, but what he is trying to achieve out of the things of dunya, that he won't get. Because the things of dunya are meaningless if it doesn't give him that peace and serenity, that tranquility, that happiness, that love and muhabbat, which he's trying to get out of it. So after all those things, if that hasn't been achieved, it's like a person ate food, but he says that now gave him a stomach ache. So now he ate, but now that thing has become a problem for him. So he doesn't feel that there's any good for him. So the real success is that which is in the akhirat. And in dunya also, only that is really success which brings a person closer to Allah Ta'ala and which has become a means of khair and barakat for him. Otherwise, everything else is all by the way. So everything now, the sum total of it is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. This word زَكَّاهَا, this is where the word تَزْكِيَا is derived from. زَكَّى يُزَكِّي تَزْكِيَةً, which we often hear it being mentioned, we hear it being spoken, sometime in some bayan, sometime we might read it in some book, the aspect and the importance of tazkiyah. This tazkiyah, the purification of the soul. And in the light of this ayat, and all these qasams that Allah Ta'ala has taken, this has highlighted to us that this is it. If this has been achieved, then the whole road is open. And success is achieved. And if this has not been achieved, everything else can be looking very fancy and very great. But if this hasn't been achieved, then Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That person who has polluted this nafs, the soul, the person who has destroyed it, he has failed. Now, there's so much of detail regarding this tazkiyah, but this is in just short in the little time that we have. That what does this tazkiyah do to a person when a person has worked towards this? Tazkiyah is not just a concept, it's not something abstract, it's not something just as a theory, something just to be learnt as a theory and well understood, and well, that's it. No, this tazkiyah is an effort. Tazkiyah is an effort. And when this effort is done in the correct manner, when the real process is undertaken, then the end result that it brings, and that is the end result that is the purpose and the objective of it. It's not just something in name, something that a person goes through the motions, something that a person, well, okay, it's fine. It's not just fine also. It's not just mustahab either. We just understood from this ayat, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That person is successful who has made this tazkiyah. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala says, then he's out of the ranks of the successful. So it is not a secondary aspect. It's a primary aspect. It's a need. It's something compulsory. It's not an optional matter. Now this tazkiyah, there's, as mentioned, so much of detail to it, but just in the light of some little anecdotes, some incidents, that what is this tazkiyah all about? What does it bring about in a person? What transformation it will cause? Because when the tazkiyah truly happens, then a person's entire focus changes. His whole thinking changes. MashaAllah, many of us have some idea of it, some understanding, but we're really still on the stage of the alphabets. We haven't started spelling still. We haven't started yet joining letters together to form simple words. Illa mashallah, mashallah, many might be still beyond that too. But by and large, we are still on the alphabets. Why this is necessary to understand? Because sometimes we think we are already on the PhD level. And therefore we are fine. But if we really understood what tazkiyah is all about, we'll understand, no, we're still in the alphabets. But that's the great misconception that comes, that despite still being in the alphabets, we think we already reached the PhD level. So the tazkiyah, when it truly happens, not just in name, then it changes a person's entire thinking. It changes his preferences. It changes his priorities. Changes his whole focus. It changes his actions and reactions. It changes how he sees, what light he sees things in. He's seeing everything in a different light. His whole life will be a different life. Now, this is a very detailed matter, but just some little incidents from the lives of the Ahlullah, from the lives of the pious, the Salafi Saliheen, which will just give us some glimpse into how this tazkiyah transforms a person, how it changes his thinking, how it changes his likes and dislikes, his preferences. So just really a very, very slight glimpse, and that too at random, some general incidents, which will hopefully give us some idea that where we still have to aim for. So when this tazkiyah has genuinely happened, among the things that come is that it builds a connection with Allah Ta'ala. That's the primary thing. That a person's heart now becomes disconnected from things, disconnected from the creation, and gets connected to the Creator. His heart becomes focused towards Allah Ta'ala. And now he is concerned all the time about what is going to make my Allah happy. Previously, when the tazkiyah was not done, what is going to impress people? What is going to earn the praises of people? How am I going to try to gain some favor with people? But when the tazkiyah has taken place, then now that changes. He is not now concerned about what people may think. Will Allah be pleased? What I am saying, would Allah be pleased? What I am doing, would my Allah be pleased? Where I am going, would my Allah be pleased? How am I acting and how am I reacting? Will my Allah be pleased? That tazkiyah changes that whole focus. And before the decisions were made, but if I do this, that person might think like this, and that person might think like that. And, you know, what people will say, what people will say. Sometimes in order to just be worried about what people will say, and so that people mustn't say something, we perpetuate sometimes zulm also. Because what people might say, so now just let it carry on. What not happens. So now the whole focus changes. Will Allah be happy? If Allah is happy, what people say, people will carry on saying. That will never end. You try to stop one person saying something, somebody else will say something else. Try to stop that person, somebody else will say something. How many tongues they are, so many things they are said. Where are we going to worry about stopping everybody from saying something? How many people are going to stop? But worry about one Allah. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, once Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wrote to her, that give me some nasihat and keep it very brief. Give me some nasihat and keep it very brief. So she replied and said that the one who undertakes or he is taking on the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, but in the process he is displeasing people. So now he's concerned about earning the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, but in the process he is displeasing people. Then Allah Ta'ala will please the people. Allah will take care of the people. But the person who's trying to please the people and in the process is displeasing Allah Ta'ala, Allah will hand him over to the people. And now hand him over to the people, who's going to please? No two people will be happy at the same time. If he's trying to please this one, that one will be unhappy. He's trying to please that one will be unhappy. So he will always be in a problem. And he'll get neither dunya or akhirat. So when this tazkiyah comes, it changes his whole... Now when this connection with Allah Ta'ala develops, now this brings about many other aspects, fundamental things, not optional aspects. Fundamental aspects come alive. For example, many things, just for example, the two very fundamental aspects of sabr and shukr. To the extent that that tazkiyah has happened, that sabr and shukr come alive. Now just to understand this from one incident, Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair, the very great personality, the nephew of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So, something happened on his foot, and eventually that spread, and then they told him, the doctor said, there's no way to save this, the only way is to cut this foot off. So eventually that's what they did. They cut his foot off. Now those days they didn't have anesthetic and so on, so they first suggested to him that drink this something, some intoxicating drink. So this will deaden your senses, because that's what intoxicants do. It deadens a person's thinking, his senses and everything. Then now he becomes, can't think anymore. So he said, well, you take this, this will now, so to say, numb you. So he said, please, you go ahead and do what you want to do. Meaning you, he's talking to the doctor, you want to cut it, you go ahead and do what you have to do. He said, I could never think that there would be any creation that would drink something that would take away their senses. That somebody would even consume something that will make him lose his senses. I can't imagine, could never imagine something like this could happen. So don't ever offer this to me. You need to do something, you go ahead and do it. Eventually they put that saw on his foot and started cutting. The narrator of this incident says, فَمَا سَمِعْنَا مِنْهُ حِسًّا. We didn't even hear the slight whistle of some sort, some sound, nothing. He just, with such tolerance and such forbearance and such control, he bore that pain and they cut that foot off eventually. Now he lost his one foot. And then in the same night or the next day, one of his children passed away. Now all this is happening and he was on a journey at that time. He was in Safar and now this is one, he's lost his foot, then he's lost his one son. The late part of the night, somebody wants to hear, what is his reaction? As we spoke about, when this tazkiyah happens, person's actions, his reactions, everything is different. You want to hear, what's his reaction? And the last part of the night, they can hear he's making dua, he's talking to Allah Ta'ala. Now this is tazkiyah. When the heart has been purified, then the person's connection with Allah Ta'ala in ease, in adversity. When things are fine, when there are challenges, in all situations he is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Now he's talking to Allah Ta'ala. Because the tazkiyah has happened, the connection has built up. When the connection has built up, the person wants to talk to someone. So now when he has some issue, he was talking to, trying to phone somebody, trying to contact someone, he's going to visit someone, no problem with that. That's why we have been taught to make taziyat also. That somebody has been bereaved, somebody has suffered some loss, go visit the person, console him. He needs that. Somebody is sick, visit the sick, he needs that. But now the person who himself is in the situation, he wants to now also talk something, he wants to lighten his chest sometimes, he wants to say something somewhere. But now the person who has developed his contact with Allah Ta'ala, he is more than content with that. So now he's talking to Allah Ta'ala. And he's saying to Allah Ta'ala, in akhazta faqad a'tayt. Ya Allah, if you've taken one lump, you've left three for me. And Ya Allah, if you have ibtalayta faqad afayt. You took one, I have seven children, you took one, you left six for me, but. Ya Allah, if you have tested me, you've given me so much afiyat also. On the one side, sabr of this nature, but this sabr is so infused with shukr. And this itself is that lesson. When that tazkiyah has happened, that sabr becomes easy. And that shukr overflows. And to the extent that that shukr becomes very alive in a person, to that extent the sabr becomes easy. Sabr is sabr. Sabr is a bitter gulp. Yes, indeed, it's a bitter gulp. But that bitter gulp is very beloved to Allah Ta'ala. There's many, many bitter things. Person deliberately, he pays for it. And he takes it because of the physical benefit he's going to give him. Many bitter things, bitter medication. Sabr is a bitter gulp also. But that bitter gulp has extremely sweet results. That bitter gulp of sabr is extremely beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the results of that in dunya and in akhirat. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala rewards the sabireen, those who adopt sabr in all its facets. Really the aspect of sabr, this is a topic on its own. This is something that permeates every part of deen. And every noble quality that a person has to develop within himself, everything that is needing to be removed from a person's life, the essence of it all comes down to sabr. What has to be done, the do's, the essence of it is sabr. The don'ts, the essence of it is sabr. Without sabr, he can't refrain from the don'ts. Without sabr, he can't fulfill the do's. Without sabr, he can't be patient on any challenge, any calamity, any hardship. He just becomes overwhelmed. He can't function, he can't focus. And he loses his whole composure. Whereas Shariat hasn't forbidden a person from expressing his grief. That's insan's fitrah, that's his nature. If something has happened that has grieved him, he'll shed tears also. He hasn't been forbidden from expressing that grief within certain limits. Because that's part of insan's nature. But if that reality of sabr is there, he won't step one inch outside the hudud, outside the limits. He won't say one word that will displease Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He won't do one thing that will harm somebody else in that process. So now this tazkiyah has happened, now the sabr is at its fore. The shukr, Hazrat Thabit Bunani Rahimahullah, a very special student of Anas, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says about one person in his time, that this person, there was some jihad taking place, so he went along and he took his son too. Then he says to his son, why don't you go ahead? Now the battle is raging. If you become a shaheed, I will bear this and I will have the hope of reward in this. The son goes ahead and he gets martyred. Now the son got martyred. Father said, but now why I should stay behind? He went ahead. He went ahead and he got martyred also. Now obviously, now that lady behind, her son, her husband got martyred and her son got martyred at one time in one battle. So now many ladies gathered to now come and console her. She was insan after all. She also had a heart and Shariat hasn't forbidden that expression of grief. When Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was martyred in Uhud, Rasulullah s.a.w. was extremely moved and he expressed his grief also. But any case, sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses some people with some remarkable composure at that moment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed the grief to teach the Ummah, this is fine. Otherwise nobody could have come one fraction close to the level of sabr that he had. But to show the Ummah, what is the limits? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi expressed the grief also. He shed tears as well. So that the Ummah will know what is permissible and what is not. But in any case, this lady now, some woman gathered now to her, come and console her. So she stood up and she said, look, if you've come to congratulate me, you're welcome. If you've come to congratulate me that today my husband has become a shaheed, my son has become a shaheed. If you've come to congratulate me, you're welcome. But if you come for something else, then you may go your way. Now that can only come from a heart that is muzakka of a different level. Somebody who's truly developed these qualities of sabr, and she is so overwhelmed with the shukr on this ni'mat of shahadat, that became very easy for her. Allah knows best what went through her heart, but she could maintain her composure in that manner. Now these things don't just happen just like that. There's an effort behind it. There's that focus on what Allah Ta'ala has taught in akhirat. That makes that sabr easy. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, once he's mentioning some incident to somebody, that so and so something was being said, and in that whatever the person was saying, he sort of, you know, took a swipe at Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He made one comment. In that comment, now he's talking in a public gathering, but that comment was now meant to hit at Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Now it was a hurtful thing. So now the person who is narrating this incident, he's saying, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned this. So he says, I asked him that, why didn't you give some answer? Why didn't you reply? So he says, look, I was sitting, and how I was sitting, I had my hands tied around my legs like a person sitting now with his knees raised. He says, I unfolded my hands and I was about to stand up. And I was about to say some certain things. But then, فَذَكَرْتُ مَا أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ فِي الْجِنَانِ, I immediately remembered what Allah Ta'ala has prepared in Jannat for those who adopt sabr. So I kept quiet and let it go. Now in a public gathering, something is being said, which is now directly pointed to him, and it is now hurtful. So as insan, something came in him, but immediately that focus, that tazkiyah was there. So the tazkiyah now moved the direction, moved the thinking, moved the thought in the direction. The direction was akhirat. So now that ego was crushed, there was no ego involved, there was no me and my and I, and you know, I was disrespected, and I was this, and he, I just remembered what Allah has kept in Jannat in store for the sabirin. But that was enough for me. So I left it. No problem. This is tazkiyah. Now these are just two or three incidents we've just discussed. There's so much more of how this changes a person's entire thinking, how it makes him so, his heart so full of well-wishing. It kills all those emotions that are the base emotions, the desire for revenge, the desire for hurting somebody, for wishing ill for others. We'll just finish off on one incident. Among the akabir of Darul Deoband was one great personality, Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now, at one point in time, there was a very major difference of opinion with regards to the partition of India. Some way in favor of India being partitioned and a separate place being given to the Muslims. This was now when the British had now started ruling India, and the Muslims and all were fighting for their independence. And others were of the view that this is not something good for the Muslims. India must stay undivided. And in this, on the one side, was Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahimullah, who was very, very firm on this view that India should remain undivided. Otherwise, this is not going to be good for the Muslims. And on the other side was Hazrat Maulana Shafali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. His view was that no, the better thing is for the Muslims to be rather given the separate space. So now this was a very big difference of opinion. Now one of the senior personalities of Darul Uloom Deoband was Mia Azhar Hussain Rahmatullah Alayh, and he was also of the view, he was aligned to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. Now in that time there was suddenly a drought, and this difference was of a very intense nature. But among the seniors, there was nothing personal about it. But people had made it very, very intense. That was always the case, unfortunately. But sometimes it's just an academic difference on the top, but people at the bottom make it a war. So in any case, he, at that time there was a drought suddenly, very severe drought, so it was decided that Salatul Istisqa should be performed. Now the senior personality of that time was Hazrat Maddi Rahmatullah Alayh, so it was quite obvious that he's going to be asked to lead the Salatul Istisqa. In any case, everybody came on, everybody joined, no matter which view they were aligned to, but Salatul Istisqa, and everybody knew who's going to be performing it to, Hazrat Maddi Rahmatullah Alayh is performing it, they all came along. They performed the Salatul Istisqa behind him, first day, second day. Now the third day also everybody came out. The first day also there was still no rain, second day still no rain. Now the third day when they came out to perform Salatul Istisqa, this other great personality, Mia Azhar Hussain Rahmatullah Alayh, it was never his habit to take the musalla, to make imamat. It was not known of him to take the imam, make imamat. Completely to everybody's surprise, he came forward and asked Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayh that if you give permission, then today let me lead the Salatul Istisqa. So he said, very well, by all means. Now they are on opposing views, and this difference is very intense also. So he came of his own accord suddenly, to everybody's surprise. He never ever takes the lead in this, and he said, please allow me to perform the salah. He said, by all means, go ahead. He performed it. Everybody was over, gone. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was his very special student. He was also taken by surprise. This was something we couldn't think about. And in this situation, and he himself went to request also. So he eventually asked him, he took the courage to ask him, but Hazrat, how you did this? What was the... He just brushed it aside. Don't worry about it. But then he persisted. What happened? You don't ever take the musalla, and what made you today, out of the blue, go and yourself ask to be allowed to perform the salah? So now when this continued and this persistence, so eventually he told him. He said, you see, all these differences are carrying on and whatever. And now Madi Rahmatullah Alayh performed the salah the first day, the second day, no rain came. And apparently it didn't sound like there's going to be rain again. There was no indication there's going to be any rain. Allah knows, but there's no indication. In fact, it seemed like there's going to be no rain. So the third day, it crossed my mind that if today also Hazrat Madni performs the salah and there's still no rain, everybody will make that a point that you see why the rain didn't come. The rain didn't come because he performed the salah. And now those who are on the view that is opposite to his view, they'll regard this many, unfortunately, whereas these two things are no link. But now they'll find some link in it. And they say, this happened, you see who's right and wrong in this difference of opinion too. So I decided, let me take the musalla today, because if there's no rain, this can never come up that because of him or him, because both people perform the namaz. So if somebody says that, no, because these people perform the namaz, that's why the rain didn't come, so I also will take the blame for it. And they won't be able to blame him for it alone, because I also performed one namaz. So therefore this now got shared. So neither this party can have any so-called upper hand over the other, and vice versa. Now there was a very intense difference of opinion, but the heart was muzakka. The heart was purified. So despite that difference of opinion, it didn't allow anything to come in the heart between the people. And he could take that well-wishing was still so dominant in the heart, that the person who might be so-called my adversary, I must try and save him also from becoming a target of the people's criticism and whatever else. Now this is the issue of tazkiya. It's not just something, just some concept, just some words. No, this goes right through every facet of life. How we treat people around us, how we treat our wives, how we treat our children, how we treat our parents, how we treat our neighbors, how we conduct ourselves in our businesses, in our jobs, how we treat our workers and helpers, what kind of akhlaq we show to people around us. All this is part of this then every other aspect, our ibadat, our inner qualities, the tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, taqwa, khashiyat, lillahiyat. So it's not just something abstract, it's an effort. And that effort, it has a process. That the person now undertakes that process in a proper manner. MashaAllah, there are many mashayikh, ulama ikram in our areas. We need to go to them, understand what is the process, take the advice from them. And the whole idea is nothing but to get close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because this entire success depends on this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. This is not nafil. It is not mustahab. This is farz. Because success Allah has made dependent on this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And unfortunately, despite sometimes being in the alphabets, we think we've already gone postgraduate. No, no, we have to realize we're still in the basics. And it's never too late to learn. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us a tawfiq. I'm most in need of it. Allah Ta'ala bless us all that we become truly muzakka. We make the tazkiyah of our nafs and become the true servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim na'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وسلم. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله
اللہ 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 لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعفو وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. إله العالمين يا الله, most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. إله العالمين يا الله, forgive us يا الله, forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make our complete islah and tazkiyah, Ya Allah. Make our hearts purified, Ya Allah. Remove all the evils from our hearts, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the noble qualities, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove all the base qualities from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the arrogance, the malice, the jealousy, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with tawazu and humility, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with qanaat and contentment, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa and tawakkul, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the things that you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Enable us to recite the Quran Sharif daily, Ya Allah. Enable us to make your dhikr all the time, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from ghaflat, Ya Allah. Save us from ghaflat, Ya Allah. Keep us in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of the ummah, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of spouses, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of families, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of communities, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us shifa from all our spiritual ailments, Ya Allah. Grant us shifa from our physical ailments, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah, grant one and all afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who have passed away, Ya Allah, make that complete maghfirat, Ya Allah. Raise their stages in the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, keep us steadfast on iman and islam, Ya Allah. Take us on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Make make our qabrs gardens of Jannah for us, Ya Allah. Grant us the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you enable us to follow the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the ways of the Yahud and Nasara from our homes, from our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Grant us istiqamat on deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who raised their hands with this dua, all those who asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah, you grant each one's jaiz needs, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all the works of deen taking place, accept it, Ya Allah. Make it a means of hidayat, Ya Allah. The ishtima to take place, accept it, Ya Allah. Make it a means of hidayat for the entire universe, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant every khair and barakat, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka. حبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.